All right, folks, welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. I am your host, Ryan Dengel. We are working on getting that brand new intro music to all of you. That's what it's going to sound like when we get that cool voiceover back. But we're just so excited to get it. Beats by Blackie Chan. Phenomenal artist, phenomenal musician, wonderful human being. You have to get on that. Beats by Blackie Chan. Come check him out. All right, I'm going to bring onto the stage Brendan Chagru. He's the assistant editor of Bears Wire. Brendan, how are you? I feel like with all the other guys, it's been a lot of like, hey, haven't seen you in a while, but I see you quite a bit lately. How's life other than the fact that you're famous now?
I'm not famous. I mean, I'm the same sort of fame I've been, you know, the last few years. I'm just very grateful that our new future quarterback extraordinaire Caleb Williams is very excited that he saw that I'm excited about his meme potential because I just love his Instagram stories and I think he's just going to be wonderful to follow and make memes out of. So I'm glad that he's self-aware like that, but no, I think things are good. I think we're a week plus past the Justin Fields trade. So things are kind of calmed down now. And I think everybody sort of realized that this is the future and, you know, it's cool to be excited about it, which is great.
Absolutely. I'm just going to throw this back up here one more time. It's just cool to see Brendan, you know, every once in a while you'll tweet something and I'll just be like, oh yeah, I work with that guy. So it's pretty cool, man. And that's one for sure to see that the hopeful, probable Bears future quarterback liked one of your tweets. And so that's pretty sweet. With that being said, let's bring on a guy I haven't seen in a really long time. I think he still works for the podcast. It's Jack Wright. And now, if you want to find Brendan on Twitter, it's at Brendan Chagru. That's Sugrue. If you want to find Jack on Twitter, it's at Bear Down Jack. Jack, do you still know how football works?
No, I don't know ball. Like that's just what you say, right? If you get on Twitter, you just say, "Hey, Dangle, you don't know ball," and then that just covers everything. No, yes, I do. I'm so excited to be back. I mean, really, truly, honestly, excited to be back. I missed you guys. We have a great guest co-host today. The last time I was on with Jeremy, I think we did like this marathon episode of draft coverage on the Irish Bears show, and it was really fun. But I survived the 2024 great debate, Justin Fields. I stayed under the fray. I ducked. I covered. I'm so happy I stayed out of it. And here I am. I survived unscathed. And now I get to talk Bears with you guys. I'm really excited.
Well, let's bring on Jeremy Layton. I'm excited about this. Jeremy Layton partners with Pickett and Odds Jam, doing some fantasy stuff, right, Jeremy? Is that
what's going on? Yeah, it's more betting than fantasy, but yes.
I got you. Okay, so just really quick, Jeremy, welcome to the show. We're so excited. Now, if I'm not mistaken, is this your first time on the Bear Down Chicago podcast?
I think it is. Like, I finally got the elusive invite. Me and Brendan used to basically do weekly shows together. Now I can't even get a text back, so I don't, this is too big time. Caleb Williams like his tweets. Oh. Like, we're living in a new dimension these days.
Don't you do that. Don't you do that. We will always have that week where you and I were at the preseason game, just, you know, basically drunk for 12 hours and then doing the training camp like the next day. that was a great time. I wish you were in the area more because you're in Los Angeles now, right?
I'm in New York still. I was actually in Los Angeles last week for work. And I've like,
oh, that's what that was.
Been okay. Home for like 24 hours maybe and like have not slept. So you're getting like a very raw, a little bit of a loopy version of me here. So do my best. But yeah, I'm out in New York. And I haven't been flying back and forth to Chicago as much as kind of during the pandemic. We got to hang out a lot, but or like right after the pandemic. But yeah, I gotta make it back there for definitely a training camp this year with, you know, it's going to be a lot of fireworks, a lot of stuff going on pretty much every day there. So I think I can't miss it this year.
Absolutely. Real quickly, just to set the background. Yeah, Jeremy and I used to do my own show like 4 years ago, and Jeremy was a co-host for the last year I did it back in 2020, when that super weird year where the Bears made the playoffs. It was a ton of fun. And then I was like, I just don't want to do a show anymore by myself, because like I just didn't want to run things. And lo and behold, this all happened. And it's really exciting to talk with Jeremy again, because it was always great to get his insights. So he's one of my favorites.
So Jeremy, I want to pick your thoughts on the off season up to this point, because we haven't heard them yet. But before we do that, there's just two people that we've got to thank, and we've got to do that first. And then Jeremy, very excited to hear where you're at. What are you thinking? The Justin Fields, all that sort of stuff. If you would, that would be greatly appreciated. Now, folks, you've heard me talk about this guy a lot, and you've heard me say, "Oh, he's the best. He's the best." And you're like, "Yeah, yeah, cool." Dangle is a very excitable person. No. You don't understand that. If you are thinking about buying or selling commercial or residential property, you're thinking about getting that home, right? Is it the time to buy that small business? Man, you know, I think I want to take that next step, but I'm a little bit nervous. Where do I go? The answer is Jeff Cadwallader. He has been working so hard since the beginning of the year to expand his real estate services to now include commercial properties. Let me tell you, folks, he has been killing it. Doesn't matter if you're a business owner, a homeowner, investor, if you're looking to buy or sell or lease commercial or residential property, Jeff is your guy, because he is our guy. Give him a call, give him a text. Jeff Cadwallader with SVN Landmark today at 630-254-4734, GenevaJeff.com. Now, if you do talk to Jeff, let him know that the guys at the Bear Down Chicago podcast say hello.
You know who appreciates a good haircut? My guy, Matt Eberflus. That's who. Sheridan Barbershop, located in historic downtown Wheaton, Illinois, has been serving the community for 69 years with 6 barbers, open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. They have appointments available to book online or by phone at your convenience. You can go to SheridansBarbershop.com or you can call 630-668-0137 and book yours today. As we've talked about before, they've opened a new shop in Naperville. It's Hensel's Barbershop. It's located in downtown Naperville, Illinois, as I mentioned. It's been open since 1966. They just remodeled it. Excuse me. Looks fantastic. They've got 6 barbers available there. It's open Tuesdays through Saturday. You can walk in or you can make an appointment. If you're going to make an appointment online, you can just go to henselsbarbershop.com. So if you go to either Sheridan's or Hensel's, you're going to a place where traditional meets modern.
And we got to put this out here, Jeremy. Sorry. One more thing. Our guy, Will, just had his baby girl. So child number 2. Bro. So, Will, if you're listening, stop listening and go hang out with your kids. You've got 2 of them now. So that's a lot more kids than 1 kid. All right. So, Jeremy, just bring us up to speed. It's true. Okay. Brendan, you don't have kids. If you have kids, plural, you will understand what that means. So you go from zone to man, and it's a totally different game. Right, Jack?
I made that analogy. I know.
But you laugh when I say it, and it's true. Like, no, I just is in the thick of it.
I know. Just the way you said, you know, going from 2 kids to 1, that's a lot of kids. That just made me laugh.
It is a lot of kids. It's once you have children, and any of the parents, if you're in the comment section and you want to just throw in and be like, Dangle knows what he's talking about, I would appreciate it greatly. Can we get to Jeremy? Because like, I'm actually honestly interested to hear his thoughts. Jeremy, catch us up to speed. Give us the short and skinny of how you feel, where the team is at, the Justin Fields stuff. Just vomit to us. Let's hear it.
No, I want to hear some more parenting analysis. No, I'm just kidding. yeah. So, I mean, anyone who follows me on Twitter knows that like I've been kind of in the camp of, you know, replace Justin Fields with Caleb Williams basically since, you know, pretty early on in the season when it was, you know, clear that Fields wasn't developing, you know, the way that a lot of us wanted and, you know, some of us expected. I'll die on the hill that the Bears never set him up for success. You know, he was Ryan Pace's draft pick. He came into a situation that was very, you know, rocky with the coach, with the GM. Obviously, they got fired after year one. There, Ryan Poles, you know, kind of had to, and he actually admitted this, all of this today, during his press conference. He's basically like, we had to clean it up. Like, we didn't really have the resources to pour into offensive support. So, you know, he was given a raw deal. That said, you know, he just didn't develop the way that, you know, anyone in Chicago really wanted. And it was, you know, I was fighting the good fight on Twitter. It was pretty clear if you followed the tea leaves, you know, very early on, the Bears were looking to replace him. You know, there were reports basically right after, you know, the season ended that, you know, they were looking at quarterbacks, that, you know, they were Justin Fields was going to get traded. Obviously went on a lot longer than we kind of expected. And it kind of seems like longer than the Bears expected too. Kind of feels like if they had a trade partner that would have given them more, they would have made this deal, you know, 3 weeks earlier. But, you know, they made the deal. Obviously, you want to get more than a conditional six that turns into a fourth for a quarterback that you traded a first round pick to move up, like, you know, whatever, nine spots to get. That's obviously disappointing. But at the same time, you know, this organization has been gifted. And, you know, we throw the word generational around there. I don't think necessarily Caleb Williams is a generational prospect. I think he has flaws. I think pretty much every quarterback prospect does. But I think he's legitimately a generational thrower of the football. Like, the way that he can make throws at all levels of the field with accuracy on the run from all arm angles, just lightning quick release, just basically has every club in the bag with, you know, every velocity imaginable and can just make every throw in the field. I just don't think that type of prospect comes along that often, even though he does have flaws that are still going to be questions basically until he takes his first snap of Bears football. But this, you know, this was this classic case of just don't overthink it and, you know, block out the noise, do what's best for the franchise. You have Caleb Williams theoretically now, if he, you know, it seems like 99% chance that he's going to be the pick. You now have him on 4 years of a controllable contract with a team that, you know, is rapidly improving, that has, you know, added a lot of blue chip players kind of out of nowhere. And if you think about where this roster was 2 years ago, you know, we got DJ Moore, Montez Sweat, Jalen Johnson blossoms into the superstar. They pay him, they extend him, Keenan Allen. It's just, there's no comparison in terms of the situation that Justin Fields was drafted into in 2021 that Caleb Williams will be drafted into in 2024. It was the right direction that the franchise needed to make. My lingering concern, and this is just kind of something that I'll always have in the back of my head, is, you know, is Eberflus the right head coach to develop Caleb Williams, or are we putting them in another coaching situation like Justin Fields had with a lame duck guy who wasn't necessarily the long-term answer and replace him soon on? But basically every other question Ryan Poles has answered. Like, it kind of feels like every time the fans are kind of waiting for him to do something, he does something. It might take a little bit longer, but, like, you know, before the Keenan Allen trade, we were like, dude, what are you doing? The only receivers on this team are DJ Moore and Tyler Scott and Velus Jones. We got to make a move. You know, you see guys flying off the board. Calvin Ridley's signed, you know, all these free agents are gone. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he lands a guy who had over 1,200 yards last year, like a bona fide superstar in the league, obviously older, but that's just a, you know, a savvy move. You give a fourth round pick. Maybe he's at the end of his career. At the very least, you're going to get him in for a season and have that kind of safety blanket who's always open underneath. Caleb Williams struggles. I mean, I don't think he struggles. I think he's reluctant to play the quick game and take the short throws. It's going to be a lot easier when Keenan Allen's just, you know, beating a guy half an inch off the line of scrimmage and is wide open 5 yards down the field for a slant. And that's, you know, that's a quarterback's best friend. I don't think they necessarily, like, A-plus ace the offseason, but there's still a lot of time. They also have another pick in the top 10. So, you know, this roster is going to look, you know, a lot different. One move that we basically know is going to happen, but then there's that whole other path of what they could go down with that number 9 pick right there. So it's a really exciting time to be a Bears fan. I think the offseason has gone well. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, because as a Bears fan, every time I do, it ends poorly, but this is a happy time to be a Bears fan. I'm very pleased.
That I love the way that you said that last part. You're right, Jeremy. We're all thinking the exact same thing. My wife even said something along the lines of, you know, they're going to mess it up, right? It's like, thanks maybe, for reminding me. She's like, don't be too happy. Okay. Jack, I know it's been a little while for you too on the show. Could you give us a very super abbreviated, like, where you at and all that stuff? Because I think in the questions I'm going to ask, you're probably going to get to throw in a lot of that stuff. But just kind of where's your head at with this offseason? Jack, you're on mute.
Oh, boo.
I'm out of practice, y'all.
Do you remember how to podcast?
So I press the unmute and then I speak into the microphone.
Cool. Okay. I'm going to stop being a jerk. Sorry.
I got it. So I'm in line with Jeremy for the most part. I think if the guy in the building is not going to be the long-term answer at quarterback, and he has not proven to you that he will be the long-term franchise quarterback, then you choose to move on. Now, as Jeremy said, I think there's plenty of blame to go around in terms of why Justin didn't end up being that guy in Chicago. But as Paul said today, it's more about the runway, and the runway was getting short with Fields. And so once you've decided that he's not going to be the long-term, then look at this. You've got the number one pick in the draft with one of the most highly touted quarterbacks to come through in a long time, with one of the best quarterback drafts to come through in a long time. So I think that begins to make the solution simple. If I'm being honest, I was kind of okay with all three of the options. I do think this was probably the best option. The other options, I suppose, being trading down from one and keeping Justin, or keeping Justin and keeping Caleb, which nobody liked that idea except for maybe me and Jim Miller. I don't know. But I do think that this was the best of all of the possible options. I think in terms of people are complaining about what we got in return for Justin. As you guys said last week, I think the market set itself. And I also think that when you consider the amount that we would have needed to pay Justin had we kept him, then that offsets whatever disappointment you might be having about the return that we had for Justin. In other words, it's you're gaining ultimately by not keeping him and not having to pay him a contract that would have been exorbitant. And so I look at it more from that angle. I do feel a little bit bad. Like I've always said, people can fan however they want, but I feel bad for the people that are just loosely following the Bears and lost their minds when Justin got traded and went down that same path of like, F this team, fire everybody, you know, McCaskies are shit. Because I wanted to grab as many people as I could, as Jeremy just alluded to, and say, no, the Bears are currently set up right now better roster-wise, cap room, draft picks, talent. They are set up better than they have been in decades. This is the time to be a Bears fan. You went through the rebuild, you suffered through it, and now we're starting to see like the peak on Mount Everest. Hopefully, there are a lot of question marks, definitely, but there are so many things to be excited right now about this Bears team right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of similar pages. It's to be cautiously optimistic that the rookie quarterback that's coming into this situation, and it's probably going to be Caleb Williams, couldn't be coming into a better situation. And I think Jeremy said it really, really well that I think we all agree Justin Fields didn't come into a good situation. In fact, he came into a terrible situation. But also there is still that, what if he's not great, right? And that's one of the things that we're kind of all hoping isn't an issue. Boys, I want to throw something out at you. Kevin Fishbane today writing in The Athletic, a quote from Poles. He said, when you talk to his teammates, speaking about Caleb Williams, they don't like him, they love him, Poles said. His leadership, how he brings people together, he is intentional with his leadership. Same goes with the staff. I'm having a hard time finding a person that doesn't like him or even love him. All right, so boys, first question out of the gates, true or false, Caleb's pro day and these quotes from Ryan Poles change the way that you think about Caleb Williams in any way, shape, or form? We're going to go Brendan, Jack, Jeremy, and I will finish it up.
False, because I think it was clear that all of this was already out there. It felt like it was an attempt at a smear campaign for the last few months to just try and get people to tear Caleb down. I think Albert Breer had a great quote. I think it was on Cap and J-Hood last week. And he just kept saying, when people have built you up for years and years and years, and that's been the case with Caleb Williams coming out of high school and for the last few years at Oklahoma at USC, when people are building you up, there's nothing left to do but tear you down. And so for the last few months, that's just what people have tried to do, getting his family involved, saying how much that he could be a diva and that he's Hollywood or whatever. And I mean, truly, there's never been a teammate that said a bad thing about Caleb Williams. The one thing that people hung on to was the bowl game where one of the players was like, we're a team now. And that was an, like, people just assumed that was about Caleb Williams. Maybe not the defense that was giving up 50 goddamn points a game, you know, like after they had fired their defensive coordinator at the end of the season. So I was pretty confident. No, I'm not pretty confident. I was very confident going into everything that this is just who Caleb Williams is, that he is a good leader. He's a good teammate. He's somebody who cares about these guys. I mean, you saw it at the combine. He was hanging out with everybody until the end, and he was dapping everybody up. Like, he didn't need to be there after everything that he talked about. And just seeing everything at his pro day, yeah, like all the throws that he did, we all knew that he could do it. It basically, there was no glaring issues where you're like, ooh, I don't think he can hit that throw or anything. If anything, I was more on the opposite end of like being impressed with the Bears and being impressed with guys like Keenan Allen showing up out of nowhere and just everybody, the contingent that they had there who were in support of likely their new teammate and new player. So, that's a really long way to say no, because I was very confident in who he was going into his pro day, and it's just reinforced those beliefs.
Yeah, I'm going to say false as well and similar to Brendan, but I guess I would just add, you know, that I think what we've learned, if nothing else, about like the media and news cycles is that so much of it is just, it's just bullshit and you can't believe it. Like, dad wants shares in the team and he's overbearing. False, like just disproven. The guy's, he's not a leader. He's going to be a bust. What are you basing that on specifically? So I feel like most of the chatter, you said smear campaign, almost all of it was disproven. And what was it disproven by? It was disproven by a thorough process that Poles has executed, I believe, time and time again. He sent his people out to talk to anybody and everybody, from what I can gather, who either played or coached Caleb Williams. And as you said, Brendan, the response that he received back was glowing. You know, that players liked playing with him, coaches liked coaching him. So I would say that once I kind of sifted through some of that BS, you know, and tried to get as much of a sense of who the young man is myself, with, you know, limited, I obviously don't know him, I've never met him, and so you're depending on a lot of secondhand accounts, but it sounds like, you know, when the rubber meets the road, that smear campaign was just that. And by the way, why what is it, like, it's a total different conversation, but why, again, can't we just be excited out of our minds that we're about to get the first pick in the draft and we're selecting a new quarterback that is immensely talented? Like, Bears fans, can we just do that? Is that okay? I gave you permission on Twitter. You can do it. Just enjoy the shit out of it, because it's exciting as hell. And he may bust, and that's a part of the risk of taking a rookie quarterback, but he might not. And we may have hired the right coaches to bring him along in terms of progression and processing, because he's already got the skills. There's no doubt about that. So I have other thoughts about just his overall play, RD, but I can save those for now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last thing you said, Jack, is just like, why can't we be happy? Like, I think the Bears fans have just been held hostage by this shitty history of quarterback development and quarterback play for so long that, you know, you kind of don't realize that this is, like, Justin Fields at the time was probably the best prospect the Bears had ever drafted, depending on what you think of Mitch Trubisky. I was never a huge Trubisky fan going in. I was obviously a really big Fields fan going in. And I think we've seen kind of the, you know, fundamental way to, you know, ruin a quarterback's development happen the last few years. And I think we're so afraid of that happening again that we can't kind of get past it and just kind of live in the moment and appreciate that, you know, we have a real, real deal quarterback prospect coming here. In terms of his pro day, you know, I'm of the opinion that I don't think the pro day was really about, you know, watching him throw. I don't think it was really about seeing his skills. Like, all that's available on the tape. We don't really care about watching him throw on air. And even still, like, you love to hear that, you know, I think Adam Hoge said only like four balls hit the ground the entire session. Great. Who cares? Like, that's not really what the pro day was about. The pro day was about kind of, you know, watching him interact with his teammates, watching him interact with Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus and Keenan Allen. And I mean, the clips that you saw from that pro day, he just kind of like strutted around there like he owned the place, like, which, you know, and it's almost borderline cocky, and you really want that out of a quarterback. Like, the Bears have never had that. And, you know, watching him just kind of like not even notice Keenan Allen, who's like trying to wave him down, this, you know, multi-million dollar receiver that this team just signed basically for you, who's a Pro Bowler. And he's just like, oh, well, I'm going to dap you up. Like, that just, it, the moment was clearly nothing to him. Like, he's really kind of aced every, you know, tests where he's been, his, you know, personality or his character has been put into the public, you know, be press conferences, interviews on TV. Like, it seems like he has the, like, he has the star power. He has the it factor. Now, obviously, that all doesn't matter if he can't play. So, you know, I want to reserve judgment on how that translates to, you know, to the football field. But, you know, if you ever listen to anybody, you know, that wasn't just him, Fields, on Twitter, and like people who are actually connected to Caleb Williams and talk to his teammates, talk to his coaches, you kind of knew that there was nothing really, nothing that people were saying online seemed true. It feels like that's been confirmed. I think the, you know, the lingering situation is, you know, he doesn't have his agent. How involved is the father? You know, that could be concerning. I was trying to think of like an example of like another prospect or athlete who had something similar, and like the most extreme terrible situation for like having an overbearing sports father that I could think of was, you know, LaVar Ball. Like, obviously he's a nightmare, like no one wants to deal with him. That's basically the worst case situation. Like, LaMelo Ball's an all-star still, like he's still a really good player. Like, Lonzo Ball was on a really great career path. Like, all that stuff doesn't really matter all that much as long as he can play football. And as long as you can have other people, you know, have a good support staff, have people in the Bears built, like, you know, people in his ear telling him the right things, you got to hope it's not just his father. But like, you know, as the Chicago Bears and a team that's probably going to draft him number one overall, like, why can't you put that infrastructure around him? And it's kind of on you at this point. And, you know, obviously the Bears didn't do that with Justin Fields. Like, they did not get the right infrastructure around it, but it does seem like they are set up to do that much better this time around. Even though I still, you know, have some questions about the coaching staff. But it's in terms of Caleb Williams, like, at this point, you just gotta like be along for the ride and stop fighting what is clearly a good thing for the franchise.
I'm going to say slightly true, just slightly. And what I mean by that is it's nothing to do with the media per se, nothing about the him painting his nails or anything along those lines. But just hearing polls say the leadership component, because the thing that all of us were really worried about is, yeah, Justin Fields, there's no questioning it. Justin Fields didn't play quarterback good enough, right? He couldn't pass the football well enough to stay here in Chicago. But nobody questioned his leadership. Nobody questioned his work ethic or anything like that. And so to hear, you know, polls just to have this glowing review, basically be like, yeah, we're going to draft this kid, and here's how excited we already are about it. That did put me at ease a little bit, you know, because with Jaquan Brisker posting, hey, can we get a redo or retake or whatever he posted the other day, you know, and you know, all these crying emojis, and the team loved, and I still loves, Justin Fields. And so it's not an easy task for any quarterback to come in. Jeremy, to your point, right, the him kind of walking around with that swagger, he's going to need that, not just in terms of like playing, you know, for the media and doing all those things, but walking into his new team and being like, hey, guys, yo, I'm good at this. And I know Justin Fields was your leader, but Justin Fields isn't here anymore. I'm the guy now. And to hear him say that today did give me a little nudge in terms of confidence.
I want to read a quote because I'm glad you brought that back up, Ryan, about the confidence arrogance thing. This is a quote. I'll tell you who it is in a second. Quote, you got to have a little swag playing the quarterback position. And when I say that, I mean confidence. You got to have confidence. And I like to say arrogance, but arrogance to me, it's all confidence under control. Do you know who said that?
Matt Eberflus.
No. Ryan Poles.
Not the Flus. No.
Right?
It was the
right.
Right. It was the Bears quarterback coach, Kerry Joseph, at the Senior Bowl. Mm. So I love that they like that sort of tendency, and that's who they're trying to get. And when you say that, because you're right, like Williams did kind of walk in there like, okay, I'm about to put on a show. I'm about to have some fun and I own this place. You really can't say that. Like, I understand former Bears quarterbacks have had that, but you just kind of feel it with him. Like, yeah, I could back this up because I can make every throw. So just knowing that, like, he's already personifying that a little bit, and I think it is needed in a locker room like this where you do have to earn your stripes, no doubt about it, but you also have to be willing to, you know, carry yourself and be able to win a locker room over like that and not be intimidated by it. I certainly don't think Caleb Williams is someone like that who, by the way, remember, took over for a one-star prospect, Spencer Rattler, whom Lincoln Riley did not want to bench because this guy was supposed to be the number one overall pick in the 2022 or 23, one of them, NFL draft. And Williams just took his job and never looked back. So he's had experience taking over for somebody like that and won the team over. I think he can definitely do it again.
I thought, just to add some balance too, I thought the anecdote that Paul shared today about the team dinner they had prior to the pro day, where 2.5 hours, you know, Williams was never once on his phone, you know, and Paul's just mentioned, like, for, you know, a young person, for, you know, 18, 20 year old to do that revealed a lot about his ability to be present. And I do feel that that's a vibe that does seem to be running all the way from Warren, like down through, you know, Poles and to Flus. And then if they've got a quarterback who has the same type of presence to be present and build relationships with the people around him, which it looked like the Poles he had clearly done by observing Caleb at this dinner, then I think that's a really, that's a positive. It's a plus.
Is there any chance they draft somebody other than Caleb Williams? I know we talked a little bit about our text thread. They went to JJ's pro day. You know, the Jack, tell me again, there was a quarterback's coach, or who's
yeah,
going to
QB coach, and a couple other assistants are going to go to
Drake May,
but not Ryan Poles.
But not Ryan.
Yeah. But so Ryan Poles did see, or is going to see Jaden Daniels and potentially Malik Nabers too, right? Pro day, yes, boys. Do I have that correct?
I think so.
So, Brian Thomas. is there anybody in here that thinks the Bears are going anything other than Caleb Williams?
No.
Put the camera on me, Ryan. Right now.
I okay.
Right now, listen to me, everybody listening. Dread it, run from it. Destiny arrives all the same, or should I say, Caleb Williams does. And he's coming. There is no possible scenario, unless he commits some sort of heinous crime, that he is not QB1 and he is not a Bear. I love the discussion. I cannot entertain any other quarterbacks now. It's just a waste. Caleb Williams is going to be a Chicago Bear.
I was just trying to make sure we could go to the next part, but Brendan had a moment. He was ready. Okay. So with that being said, boys, I think the far more interesting thing is, what are they going to do at 9? I do a little bit later want to talk about what are they going to do in the third round at pick 75 and the fourth round with 122. I want to talk about that a little bit later, but I think pick 9 is got to be the most interesting one. I've talked about it before. I'm sure you guys have talked about it before. I'm seeing things like Brock Bowers, who I know plays tight end, but he's also somewhat of a little bit of a slot receiver to some extent. I don't know, boys. I'm super, super curious if there's a guy there, you say, yes, I got to take him, or do they absolutely have to trade down to accumulate more draft capital? Where are you boys at on the number 9 pick? Let's go reverse order. So we're going to go Jeremy, Jack, Brendan, and I will finish it up.
Yeah. So if you kind of think about the way that the draft is shaping up, like, so, you know, the Bears are going to draft a quarterback. Washington seems very likely to draft a quarterback. New England seems extremely likely to draft a quarterback or trade out for someone who's going to. The Cardinals, you know, either draft Marvin Harrison or trade out. The Chargers probably drafting a receiver. The Giants are probably drafting a quarterback. So then after that is where, you know, it's the Titans, the Falcons, and the Bears. The Titans look like it seems all signs are pointing them drafting an offensive tackle. They need one. At 8, the Falcons just, you know, they have Drake London, they have Kyle Pitts, they, you know, signed Darnell Mooney, the Atlanta Bearkins or whatever Ryan Pace is building over there, remains alive. I don't think they're going to draft a receiver. So it feels pretty likely. And I, you know, this is, you know, March 25th. We still have a month till the draft. Things can change at a dime. But, you know, if four quarterbacks go in the first six picks, which seems at least like relatively likely at this point, seems like highly likely. It feels like Rome Odunze is probably going to be there unless, you know, the Chargers decide they want him over Malik Nabers or even Marvin Harris. Like one of those three receivers is, it isn't, I mean, nothing is certain at this point. You know, it could, something weird could happen. Someone could trade out. There could be a run of receivers, but it sets up a really interesting situation with the Bears because obviously before they drafted or before they traded for Keenan Allen, you like pencil in Rome Odunze there, you know, even now that Keenan Allen's there or now that Keenan Allen's there, you know, you don't need an answer right away at the receiver position, especially one with investing that high level of draft capital. But, you know, Keenan Allen's 32, like he could stick around for one or two more years. He plays mostly out of the slot. Rome Odunze would be a really interesting, you know, if you want to go overpower offense and just create a perfect situation for Caleb Williams and almost kind of get it to the point where it's really, you know, as unlikely as possible that he fails, I wouldn't blame them for doing that. I think that makes a lot of sense. I would be thrilled to see that. But at the same time, you know, like trading for Keenan Allen definitely doesn't make that a necessity anymore. And you never really want to kind of draft based on need at the time, at the top, especially, you know, with the top 10 picks. So maybe it shouldn't have mattered all that much in terms of, you know, what position you're going for at this position at this draft spot. But, you know, it kind of gives them a really, you know, I think Ryan Poles was asked today at the owners meetings. I think he named offensive tackle, wide receiver, and edge rusher as like the positions he's, you know, looking to fill with a level of draft capital like that. So, you know, Jared Verse will probably be there. Maybe Dallas Turner is there. You know, Joe Alt, I think the draft mix seem to think it's pretty likely that he goes to the Titans. Maybe he falls to number nine. This was an elite offensive tackle who's 6'8". You know, I really like Braxton Jones, and I think there's definitely an argument that you're not upgrading that position as much with such a high pick, because, you know, you already have solid pieces on the offensive line, and Jones can at least do the job on a $1 million contract. But there is that possibility too. Like, there's going to be a lot of really talented players at premium positions with that number nine pick. And there's also the chance that only three quarterbacks are off the board. The Vikings want to move up. Some other team wants to move up for a quarterback. Like, there's really, they could do anything with that pick. And it's kind of a luxury situation. Like, and obviously they need to add talent, and you need, you know, more receivers. You need an edge rusher. You obviously, across from Montez Sweat, you really don't have that second guy. So I think that would make a lot of sense. But, you know, I feel like this is a situation that a lot of other GMs are being very envious of right now. Like, they're going to get their quarterback, and then they have a chance to either help him out with, you know, a stud receiver, a really good offensive tackle, or kind of add to another defense that's really came along in the second half of the year last year. So my, you know, if I were to, you know, wave a magic wand and get what I want, I would probably have them drafting Rome Odunze if he's there. Or, you know, trading back a couple picks, picking up another second rounder, you know, drafting Jared Verse or, you know, one of those other edge rushers. I haven't really given a lot of, you know, I haven't watched a lot of film of those guys yet. But, you know, there's so many options right now. And it's really, along with the quarterback position, situation at the top of the draft, like this, you can't really ask for much better than we got right now.
Some other like nuggets from polls today that I thought were interesting is, you know, people are being heavily critical of the amount of picks that the Bears have this year. But he mentioned that if they don't trade back from the nine, they're looking at 25 picks in the last 3 years, which, you know, obviously equates to 8+ picks per year. He also mentioned, and I haven't validated this, so maybe you guys can, but he also mentioned that if there's a year to not have as many picks, that this would be the year. It sounds like there's a lot of noise at the top. And there is a lot of noise at the top, but then perhaps, you know, there's not a dearth of picks when we get a little bit lower. I like what Jeremy said in terms of his analysis of the teams that are around the Bears and what it is that they might need. And I like it because it's one of many factors that has to be considered. I think you guys were ripping mock drafts last week, and I'm with you because, in my opinion, what I think some folks see in the draft is some sort of like static activity. It's like the four of us head to the liquor store and go right for the beer cave. And like Ryan's got the first pick and he's like, oh, I'll take an anti-hero. Right. And then, you know, Jeremy's got the second pick and he's like, oh, I love Bell's Oberon. You know, that's not what it is. You're not just going shopping and like grabbing in isolation what it is that you think that you want. It is an incredibly fluid process, not a static one. And so if you really listen to polls today, like one of the things he said, and you had to be listening closely, was he was like, at nine, it's going to really depend on the numbers. And so, okay, so you take what Jeremy said, and you guys just holler out if I'm forgetting factors, but you think about other franchises and what they need. You think about the scouting that you've done. You think about the scoring system that you have set up. You think about position scarcity. You think about the advantage of trading back and what you might get in return based on what teams are offering you for that ninth spot. I'm sure I'm forgetting other things, you know, like character issues, personal interviews. I mean, we could probably continue to go on and on and on. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about polls, because for me to just say, I think that they should trade back from nine and get more picks, that doesn't take into account all of the factors that polls and crew are considering. It is fluid. So he's got to see what happens at 1 through 8. And then when it gets closer to his pick, he's got to look at his board and he's got to see where those numbers, as he said, fall out. And if there's a guy on the board with elite numbers that he never expected would fall to him, then he's going to take him. And he's been pretty darn good at it. See, also darn all right. And if it gets to him and he looks at his board and those numbers aren't where he hoped they would be, and he sees greater advantage and like a greater cumulative effect of high numbered players by trading back, then that's what he's going to do. And in my opinion, that's what he should do. You know, like Jeremy, I would love to see, you know, a high caliber receiver added. We're going to need a third. You're right, Jeremy. He did mention offensive tackle, wide receiver, and rush end. I believe the Bears were 31st in sacks last year. That's got to change. So, I mean, I think Jeremy did a good job of talking about individual players. I was just thinking more like about broad concept, you know, strategies in terms of the way that the draft is approached and the ways in which I think that Poles has done a nice job of approaching the draft.
And I'll kind of take both of those strategies and mix them a little bit. I think if we are just talking about a wish list and players, I've really liked Rome Odunze for a while. I've watched a lot of Pac-12 football this past year. I don't really know why. Maybe it's just because I stay up late and I was really interested in my Bo Nix Heisman futures, and I really liked watching Washington and USC, obviously, but I really like what he brings to the table. I also like how he'd be as a complimentary piece to DJ Moore. And that's another thing you get into with Malik Nabers, where a lot of comparisons have him as like a DJ Moore 2.0. So do you can obviously, it'd be great to have more than one DJ Moore and adding that on to Keenan Allen. But if you're building, I think, a complete football team, I'd love to see what those complementary pieces look like with both of those. But I tweeted out last week that truly the Bears should be in just a prime position to get either one of the three wide receivers, the top tackle in Joe Alt, and he's really set himself like apart from the rest of the crew, like Olu Fashanu and the guy from Oregon State. I can't remember how to say his name. Fayuga, I don't know. Fuaga. I probably messed that up, but Fuaga, thank you. Not too far out, but so you're either going to get the top tackle, one of the top three receivers, or the top edge rusher, and that could be Latu, that could be Turner, depending on what you think. That's a great position to be in because those are arguably the three biggest positions of need and ones that can really elevate your offense, a defense. I mean, just whole team. You just got to hope that four quarterbacks go within those first eight picks. And you know what? If one of them starts to fall, could be Drake May, maybe then you could start to look at a trade down and if somebody wants to come up at number nine. So that's kind of goes into what Jack was saying. Like if the opportunity presents itself, because it takes two to tango, you can't just say, oh, trade down. Because if there's nobody willing to come up, like what's the whole point? So there's a lot of different avenues the Bears can go, and I feel very confident that they're going to come out of this first round with obviously Caleb Williams, and then an impact receiver, an impact tackle, or an impact edge rusher. I really, truly believe that. And there's a ton of avenues to get there. And I'm really excited to see how it goes. Cause I just think that they're in a just position where it'd be really hard to screw it up. I don't want to say they can't screw it up, but it'd be really hard to do that.
So boys, I'm going to make this really simple. Cause I think you guys, you hit all angles on this. Roma Dunze, or somehow, some way, there's always one guy that falls that everyone is like, how is this guy falling? Like, and I don't think there's any way that that's Marvin Harrison Jr. But if it's him, like, I want one of those two guys. And if not, trade down, accumulate more picks, because they don't really have a whole lot of other picks. With that being said, boys, let's talk, because I don't think a lot of people have been mentioning this. The Bears are also picking, again, pick number 75 in the third round, and they're going to go 122 in the fourth. Let's just pretend that trade downs are just not here. What other positions? You don't have to throw even names out. Just what other positions do you think the Bears need to address with the third and fourth picks? Boys, let's, if we could, just, you know, wrap it up just a little bit quicker. We're going to go a little more of a speed round on this one. So let's go Brendan, Jack, Jeremy, and I will finish it up.
All right. So third round, I would love for the Bears to get somebody like Braden Fisk. I know he's a popular name, defensive tackle out of Florida State. He shined at the Senior Bowl. He's really quick. He's got a high motor. I think he'd fit so well with somebody like Andrew Billings and Javon Dexter, because I'm not a big fan of Zach Pickens. So, yeah, it'd be great to see them go defensive tackle at the third round. You want me to go more? I don't know if you want me to keep it. That's fine.
I missed the button.
Do I get to roast you for that now? So I would say yes, build from the inside out. I love the idea that Brendan just mentioned, but I also have said from, you know, the very beginning that we need a stable of offensive linemen that can be potentially interchangeable. Clearly, guys get hurt. I don't think the offensive line has fully rounded out to a place where it needs to be. I think when we have looked at some of the best teams in the league lately, we know that they dominate at offensive line. And I don't know as if there's a ton of offensive linemen that are out there. I think Poles has drafted some and he's tried to bring them along, but I think you got to stack them deep and there needs to be a bunch of competition. I think we got to go back to the year Poles was hired and think about him hiring two randos off the street 2 weeks before the draft, because he didn't really have much of an option otherwise, to where we are now. And where we are now is in a position to build from the inside out, as I alluded to. I think that's offensive linemen. The more the merrier, the better our chances of finding some that end up hitting and being able to either start or replace.
Yeah. So first of all, I think the Bears, you know, five draft picks at this point, I really think they do need to trade back at least one time. And you know, over the years since Ryan Poles has been there, they've picked up some really useful players in the late rounds. So the more kind of, you know, swings or bites of the apple that they can get, I think, you know, teams are always going to want to move up. And the Bears turned, I think they had five draft picks going into the 2022 draft and they ended up with 11. So a lot of trade back to trade Khalil Mack to the Chargers, get that extra pick there. So I really want them to cap, you know, accumulate a couple more picks. Would really like for them to invest in a long-term answer at center. I think, you know, between Ryan Bates and, oh my God, the guy from the Rams, Coleman Shelton. I mean, I think both of those guys are serviceable and, you know, if in a pinch could be fine, but you know, the Bears really haven't had a center that they've developed. Obviously Jackson Powers Johnson is really good. And I think he's going to go before the Bears pick again, unless they trade out a nine. That's a player that I really like. You know, Zach Frazier from West Virginia is solid too. Cedric Van Pran, people like, and then the last thing, you know, I think this is going to be a good draft for kind of, you know, swinging on some either undersized or, you know, athletically gifted but underperforming, but like receivers in the middle round, there's a lot of guys that intrigue me. You know, Malik Washington is a guy out of Virginia who's really little and a little bit older, but kind of great analytically, dominated targets and yards when he was at Northwestern. He was at Virginia. He was basically produced everywhere with bad quarterbacks. Little guy is not going to be a wide receiver one, a guy that, you know, you could throw in there for some go routes and just some middle of field stuff. And, you know, there's a couple of like Troy Franklin. I don't know if he's going to fall that far, but you know, second and third round, there's going to be a lot of receivers on the board that I think they should take a look at.
So there's really four positions that I'm thinking about. Three technique, because you know, losing Justin Jones, that kind of hurts. And Brennan, I'm kind of with you. I like the guys that they have, but I don't love the guys that they have. So yeah, I think you need something there. Just any kind of O-line help, as you guys have already talked about. Center, Jeremy, you stole the point right from me. I love that one. A long-term answer. If you have listened to this podcast at any point, you've probably heard me yelling that Ryan Poles has not done enough to address the offensive line and especially the center position. And then a pass rusher. I know usually the third and fourth round at that point, you're not going to get anybody special, but maybe you take a flyer on someone that might have something. Who knows where they might be at. And then Jeremy, again, man, you're just making some great points, which is that wide receiver depth, because Velus needs to be gone, and Tyler Scott, if he was gone as well, I don't think I would have much of a problem with that. He just really didn't show a lot last season. Boys, anything else you want to talk about with the draft before we move on to the owners meeting and the rules changes that took place?
I just want to pound the table very briefly for Malik Nabers. I know there's kind of this comp of DJ Moore that, you know, they're very similar receivers. Like, they're both receivers that can do everything. Like, you want two of those guys so you can move around the formation. Malik Nabers put up ungodly numbers last year. What I like to look at is, like, how much you produce on the, like, per opportunity that you get. He had 3.64 yards per route run last year. So every time he ran a route, LSU gained almost 4 yards. So basically, theoretically, if you had him run a route on every single play, they get a first down every time they touch the ball. That's like, it's really excellent production. And he was playing with a first round receiver in Brian Thomas and just basically dominated yards, dominated targets. I think he's going to be special. So if they can get him at 9, for some reason he falls, I'm running to the podium.
Anybody else?
Nope.
All right. So I think, Brendan, I want to do coaches last, if that's okay with you. I know that we've been excited about doing this. But I think just really quick, boys, the two big rule changes that I saw were that they're getting rid of the hip tackle. Jack, I'm very curious because, you know, as someone who played the position and probably got hip tackled at some point in his life while either returning kicks or playing a little RB. And then also the other one, that the replay official will have a slightly bigger role. I think those are the big ones, boys. Am I missing something in that?
Yeah, just the to be able to review roughing the passer, I think, is a great addition. And then I just started like digging into the proposed kickoff return changes, and I'm kind of excited. The head of the rules committee mentioned Devin Hester as a reason for altering the rules and trying to bring it back. If they figure out a way to bring back kick returns, kudos to them. I think those were probably the main ones. Another one, Brennan?
Yeah, the other one was you only have to get one successful challenge now to be awarded a third.
Yeah.
So it basically means like you can blow all your timeouts on challenges now if you want.
Boys, anything in particular? I mean, I really like you kind of hit, Jack, what I wanted to say about the, if it's blatant, the replay official should be able to change it, right? It should be able to say something like, hey guys, you're really, really, really missing this. And, you know, I mean, we all want to keep quarterbacks safe. And I do wonder to some extent if it's something obvious, like what happened to Justin Fields every freaking week of his entire career, getting hit in the head. And someone to say, hey guys, this was pretty flagrant, you know, and throw a flag. I don't know how that's going to work, but I'm just saying to have someone where it's a little bit more obvious makes me happy. Any other thoughts on that, boys?
About the rules in general or just about that specific one?
I would say any other rules other than the hip tackle. I promise, Jack, I will give you your, because I know you really want to chat about that.
No, I think you're right. I think, you know, in the hands of the officials on the field, they're going to err on the side of caution generally. Well, I guess here's the bottom line is a lot of these rules, I think, on theory and at the meetings and on paper are good in terms of, you know, doing what I think needs to happen. And that is protecting players from injury, especially like the best of players who are central to the game. And having less of those players is bad for the game. The problem is that you're putting these decisions in the hands of the officials, and that's where it gets so messy, and that's where it gets, I would say, there's a point of diminishing returns. I mean, you know, my take on the catch rule, you know, same with the hip tackle rule. There's going to be some area there for interpretation that's going to make it messy. It's going to take some time to finesse these rules.
All right. So Jack, talk to us about the hip tackle rule, because I know you got some strong thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the game is evolving, and if we're going to continue to play the game, you know, in any way, shape, or form, like it currently is, then we're going to have to evolve with it. I mean, I think the knee jerk reaction from a lot of folks is like, are we still playing football? I mean, how are people supposed to tackle? I understand that on some levels. I come from an era where I played running back and I led with my head. I coached and we celebrated when guys would get their bells wrong. I mean, these were concussions. That was a time that was wrong in retrospect, and people's well-beings were at risk. And the fact that the NFL has recognized that and is trying to make changes, I think, is good. And so specifically, you know, the hip tackle is illegal when the player essentially leaves the ground, the defender leaves the ground, right? Completely leaves the ground, and then whips his hip and then lands on the legs or the body of the ball carrier. Like, that's what they specifically, what they have made illegal. If I'm being honest, I don't even know if that goes far enough. I think any efforts in which a tackle appears to be a violent effort to take someone to the ground, like we saw Richardson got lost because a defender jammed his shoulder into the ground. We saw people, I think, trying to hurt Justin Fields rather frequently. We saw the tight end for Baltimore go out early last year. I think they said at the rules committee that they see at least one hip tackle per game, and it's leading directly to players losing their seasons. So I understand that in the midst of a tackle, it can go crazy real fast. No one's expecting you to be the Matrix and control your body and only hit certain areas. And like, I get it. Things can happen that just happened in a violent collision, and that's understandable. But there's something about making a proper tackle to lower your shoulder, to roll your hips, to run your feet, and to actually tackle somebody with some fundamental principles, as opposed to trying to take somebody and use the entire weight of your body suspended and hip thrust them into the ground, landing on them and potentially endangering them. Now, again, the problem that I have, the concern I have is, man, now we're putting that in the hands of the officials. And that's, I mean, I don't want any more freaking replays. I think the reviews, while they are effective in some ways, they're still too dang slow. Like, the NFL needs to speed it up with the technology. These things ought to be reviewed quicker and like more snap decisions if we're going to do it. So while I like it in principle, in terms of protection of the players, I don't think it's probably going to look too pretty in practice, personally.
Jeremy or Brendan, any thoughts on that before we move on?
Yeah, I'll just jump in and quickly. So like, I mean, I'm like, I never played football at any sort of high level. So for these type of rules things, I like to think of, you know, I like to go on Twitter and see what the players have to say. People who, you know, actually have taken these hits and have, you know, given these hits and I've kind of noticed there's been a bit of a mixed reaction from players, which I find really interesting. Usually with these rules, it's like everybody's like, we're playing football, like we understand the risks. But, you know, even while J.J. Watt is saying that this is basically flag football, I think it was Kenyon Drake, I think that's who it was, a running back basically went on Twitter and said, like, I lost 2 years in my career because this type of tackle. So it's not like a unanimous – everybody's in like a pro football, like we want to play football, we want to get hit, we don't really care about it. It does seem like there is some kind of pushback from offensive players. Definitely agree with Jack in terms of, you know, we're gonna have a lot of situations now, especially in the first year of this being enacted, where the call doesn't necessarily make sense and we're all kind of confused, and, you know, crucial flags are gonna alter games. There's 17 games a season. Like, obviously it's gonna be rocky, it's gonna be a tough start, but I think in terms of like, is it a good thing for the game? You know, I think we got to give it time, but I think there's obviously some like thoughts that it might be.
Brendan, any thoughts?
Just one, really. You know, we talk about like calling it the hip drop tackle. It's also like more of a hip swivel tackle. I think Jack did a good job of explaining it, where you kind of land under the player's body and that's where their legs can get contorted and that's where the issue comes in. So I just, if you're really confused or just wondering what kind of examples, there's examples out there. Like the Mark Andrews injury is a good one to look at. It's not like you can't just, you know, tackle somebody by the hip anymore and you're going to get penalized. It's a very specific type of tackle that you do see once a game, and I think it will help in the long run. It's just going to take a little bit of an adjustment.
All right, so boys, you're going to have to hang with me. The technology is not perfected in this, so we're going to try this first. Give me a second. If I do this and then I do this. Nope, it did not work the way in which I had thought and hoped at all. But that's okay. We're just going to go with it regardless as is. All right, so boys, how this is going to work is that we are going to – oh, boy, I am pushing buttons and things are not working the way that I'm hoping to. Sorry for all of you that are watching with us. Okay, we're back. All right, so what's going to happen is, Jeremy, as best you possibly can, you're going to go through and just tell us either – the coaches' names or the program, like either one of those, as many as you possibly can. It's totally fine to say I don't know. It's totally fine to say to pass, however you want to do it. And the reason why we're making you go first is because Jack went first last time and let's just say didn't do so well. San Diego came up several times, even though they have not had a team for some years. And Jack, to his credit, let us run with it and make fun of him ruthlessly at times. And so we need to be nice to Jack. Jeremy, I hope you understand. I know it is your first time on the show.
I missed work, Jeremy. I couldn't listen. I'm 50. I can't see. I have my own photo up on my monitor this year so I can actually see guys. I couldn't even make out the faces last year.
I haven't even taken a look at the picture yet, so I'm a little nervous about this, but I'm definitely going to give it a shot.
I'm telling you, like they don't have their hats on. They don't have their, I mean, like Andy Reid's in his floral shirt. That's easy to do.
I could probably pick him out. Yeah, I feel pretty confident about my ability to find spot Andy Reid.
Yeah, so Brendan usually has the keep it right card, and so I don't, and I'm going to try my absolute best to keep track of this. Brendan had to step outside. I think he's okay. I hope he's okay. And so we're going to try my absolute best here to get this right. So first of all, we got to get a little background music. And Jack, the only thing I thought that would work is Brendan's breakdown music. So we're going to just make sure we set the mood just a little bit. Again, Beats by Blackie Chan for all of you who are checking it out. Yeah, there we go. Nice little in the background. All right, Jeremy, as best as possible. And
Ryan, you might have to cut the music, buddy. It's drowning your voice out. Sorry, buddy.
Is it still drowning my voice out?
Yeah, it is.
All right. Well, guess what? Music is gone. Production value, it's gone. It's okay. We're going to make this work regardless. All right. So, Jeremy, I'm going to give you 1 minute to try to name as many coaches as you possibly can. And
you're going to pull it up, right?
Yes. Yes. I'm going to pull up the picture.
And Jeremy, just make sure. Or close my ears or?
I don't, whatever, dude. At this point, Brendan usually has the answers. And so he's gone. So I'm going to try. I'm going to try as best I possibly can. Jeremy, you have 1 minute on the clock. Can you see them okay? Or is it too?
I'm going to zoom in on my computer real quick if I can, which actually I cannot. Yeah, I got it. All right, I got it.
All right, okay. And your one minute. So if you could start from the back left, right? That would be fantastic. And if you would, you have 1 minute. Begin.
Okay, I don't know who it is back left. I don't know what it is the second back left. Then that's Matt LaFleur. Then that's Kevin O'Connell. Then that's Jonathan. No, not Jonathan Gannon. That's Shane Steichen. That's D'Amico Ryans. That's Todd Bowles, possibly Dan Campbell. I can't quite tell who that one is. Oh, Zach Taylor, Gerard Mayo, Robert Sala. That's what's his name? Oh God, how much time do I have left? I'm skipping. Brian Daboll,
28 seconds.
Jonathan Gannon, Doug Peterson, Kevin Stefanski, Dan Quinn. Can't tell. Someone who's really handsome. Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh. Is that Sean McDermott? Yes, Sean McVay. Not LaFleur. No, that was Shanahan over there. That's LaFleur. Don't know who that is, and Mike McDaniel.
And time. All right. You know what? You had me a little worried with LaFleur and San Francisco. And so I've actually you really picked it up. So let me give me 1 second here to double check here.
I think I kind of crushed it.
I think you did.
If I have this correct, I think you got 22 out of 32. If my numbers might be wrong, we'll have to go back to the tape a little bit later to double check to see. But Jeremy, that is very, 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 very impressive. So again, I think it's 22. Somebody, maybe if you're watching, you can be like, Daniel, you can't count, which is entirely possible. So Jack, you ready for redemption?
Well, yeah, but I don't know if it's going to be redemption. I think it's going to be more hilarity.
Repeating my answers.
I got you too. So Oakland, not a football team anymore. And San Diego, also not a – yeah, St. Louis. Oh, there's another one. There you go. Yeah,
are the Expos? Oh. Are the Expos still a baseball team?
Yeah. No. Yeah, there's five coaches missing. So it isn't even out of 32. So if the 22 number is right – then Jeremy, that's even more impressive, dude. So
you said we can name the coach or the team they're affiliated with, right?
I believe, yeah. That's how we did it last time around. So yeah, I'm okay with that. So let's do this. All right, Jack, you have 1 minute to roll. Are you ready?
Yes. Back left, right? Start at the back left.
So if you could start with the back left, that would be preferred. And
so that's Hotlanta, and then it's the Raiders, and it's San Francisco, and it's Minnesota, and then I think skip, and then I'm going to say Texans. I think that's Bulls and Tampa Bay. I think it's Dan Campbell in Detroit. Skip, I'm going to say Patriots, and then it's Sala from the Jets. I think that's Dan Quinn from the Commanders. It's Brian Daboll. That's Arizona, Doug Peterson. Skip, we've got New Orleans. I believe that's McDonald from the Seahawks. I'm going to skip. It's Reed, Harbaugh. That's Buffalo Bills, Rams, Green Bay Packers. Let me just think of a team I had.
7 seconds.
Houston Texans, and then Miami Dolphins, Mike McDaniels.
All right, so that's time, and Jack, just that is redemption, dude. That is definitely, okay? Definitely better than last time.
Okay.
5, 10, 15, 20. Okay, again, Jeremy, we're going to have to double-check the numbers because I think technically Jack tied with you, but that can't be right. That just can't be right.
So he definitely named one that I didn't know, but he also skipped one that I didn't know, so you might be right. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Who's the dude to McDaniels is left? Or to the right of McDaniels.
Let me see.
Dave. Yeah. So.
Canales.
Oh, is it Dave Canales?
Okay. Yes. Okay. So yeah. So yeah. Tampa Bay's coordinator now turned head coach. Okay. All right. Cool.
So Stefanski was no. Sirianni wasn't there. Flus wasn't there.
Eberflus wasn't there. Yes.
Yeah. What the hell?
Right. Tomlin wasn't there.
Yes.
And I can't remember who the other two are. It doesn't matter.
I wonder if they just said, hey, you know what? Pound sand. I'm not coming to your damn picture or what? Because I think I was listening and they changed up the date at the time of the picture. And so maybe some of the dudes were like, no, this is the day we golf. So you can kick rocks. I'm not coming to your damn picture.
Wait, I think the middle handsome guy is Canales, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. And then the guy on the left, the second to the left on the bottom, I could not pick him out of a lineup.
So if we post it up, Brendan will be able to tell us because he's a genius when it comes to all this stuff.
Well, Zach Taylor.
Yes.
Did we say Zach Taylor? I don't think we did.
No, I think Zach Taylor is next to Dan Campbell.
Okay. You're right. And I think you said him.
Good job. Yes.
I'm so mad. I was so excited for this. And then, of course, as we're starting, like my dog just like slid. She, you know, she might have hurt herself. We don't know.
Oh, no.
Hopefully she's okay. But, you know, she's a tough dog. So she doesn't, you know, ever get like when she like actually is like hurt and whimpers, we're like, okay, this could be something. So hopefully we're okay. Anyway, put the picture up. I got this.
Okay, so just really quick, Brendan, I gotta give major props to both Jeremy and Jack. Both
they do good,
like significant. Okay, Jeremy, Jeremy clearly knows his stuff, and so I can't talk negatively or positively about it. But dude knows his stuff.
But Jack,
Jack, like big time redemption from last year. Big time redemption.
All right, I love it. All right, so starting on the top left, Raheem Morris, Antonio Pierce, Kyle Shanahan, Kevin O'Connell, Shane Steichen, D'Amico Ryans, Todd Bowles, Dan Campbell, Zach Taylor, Jerod Mayo, Robert Saleh, Dan Quinn, and Brian Daboll. On the bottom, beginning at the left, Mike McDaniel, Mike McDonald, Matt LaFleur, Sean McVay, Sean McDermott, all the mix and the, you know, everybody's staying together. The Harbaugh Bros, Andy Reid, Dave Canales, Brian Callahan, Dennis Allen, Kevin Stefanski, Doug Peterson, and Jonathan Gannon.
I feel like you cheated. That was perfect.
Jonathan Gannon.
I wrote him down.
That dude is jacked. There are a lot of like big, strong football. Like I don't know why. I just have this in like thing in my head where football coach means you got to be balding somewhere, possibly, and then like big gut, and like all those dudes are like they're doing well for themselves.
Dan Campbell's a unit, man. That dude,
he's a big dude.
He
played tight end, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was also sneakily huge. Kevin O'Connell.
I guess it's a good way to earn the respect of your players to some extent, right? Just a little bit. Yeah. Boys, this has been a really, really fun episode. And so we're going to go to shout outs in just a second. Jeremy, I want to just say thank you so much for hanging out with us today, being willing to throw in, just in our round robin style of stuff. That was really, really great to have you on. Brendan, just double check and make sure you're doing okay. I mean, I know you said Doggo, you think is okay, but just.
Yeah, we'll be okay. I got 5 to 10 minutes either way. So yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to wrap this up right here. So, boys, thank you, thank you, thank you. So let's get to shout-outs. Shout-outs, anybody that's listening to the pod that you might like to give a shout-out to. For this, let's go Jack, Brennan, Jeremy, and I will finish it up. Shout-outs, boys.
So let's shout-out and maybe help me out if you need to. Jeremy, are you a part of the bracketology? Sorry if you're not, and I just asked.
You mean do I do a bracket?
No, are you in the local
Bears Twitter madness?
Yes, I am.
Yes, okay.
I lost.
Oh, sorry. Well, but you're in it. Like, you got to be in it. So
first round exit.
So to Jeremy, Brendan, our guy Cam, and to Shells, props to you for being in the bracket. And I want to just kind of like especially mention this because I feel that I become more and more impressed and appreciative of the local writers and people that are on Twitter, people that are either full-time or part-time, you know, into Bears Twitter. Like the local people know their stuff. And you know who doesn't know their stuff is the freaking, for the most part, the Nationals. Like this Jeff Manns guy on Fantasy Serious Fantasy XM, he knows fantasy sports. I'll give him a lot of credit, but dude needs to stay in his lane. When he talks about the Bears, he has zilch knowledge about what he's talking about. And so it's mostly just an appreciation shout out to those of you guys on the pod right now and who aren't with us but are a part of our pod, who pay attention, who listen, and who know this Bears team and know it well. Shout out to – we often shout out Lester Wolfong, but he's great. You guys know that I have this, like, personal kind of quiet mission to make Twitter – positive. And I stayed out of it all through that field stuff. And I don't regret it for a minute. But the minute I got back on, I mean, it takes 2 seconds. And the trolls and the rage and the idiocy and the personal attacks, they, right away, they come out. And I just keep going right back to the same thing. Like, hey, I'm honestly curious. I honestly want to know. I'm here for a conversation. And so one by one, my goal is to try to make Twitter a little bit more positive place. And so I posted, somebody had posted one of Caleb Williams's, you know, very elusive scrambling videos. And I just was curious. I said, okay, this is great. Now, do we have any of them in the pocket? And people just came at me and I was like, no, I'm literally just asking. I would like to see as much film as I could see of this guy, which I watched for 48 hours. And Lester provided it, and he's great, and he's cut up some great films of him playing in structure, out of structure. And if you haven't seen any of it, I would highly encourage you to go watch it, because holy cow, Caleb Williams is good. His arm strength is incredible. His accuracy, pocket presence, ball handling skills, I mean, all of it, just really, really good. So those are my shout-outs.
All right, my shout-outs. So Jack mentioned it, the Bears Twitter Madness. Shout out to the guy who puts it on every year. I think this is his fifth year doing it, Mohammed Zubir Nourani. I've been grateful, blessed to be in it for the last 3 years, and I thankfully advanced this year against DJ Snyder, who's one of the best doing draft coverage. He does more national, so if he even focused just slightly a little bit more on the Bears, I probably would have been destroyed. But shout out to him for putting it on, because it's always fun, and I hope people take it as fun as others do, and don't buy bots to try and rig votes, because that's annoying. And then shout out to EJ for being a good sport. I look forward to getting walloped by Aaron Lemming in the next round. And then shout out to somebody who I think deserves a lot more followers. I've been really impressed with his work, and he's just a fun follow. Start Kyle Orton. He has a podcast. His name might be Kyle, I don't know, but make sure you follow Star Kyle Orton. He's just such a fun person to follow, and he definitely deserves a lot more recognition on Bears Twitter.
I want to shout out to all my many Twitter adversaries over the past several months. Unlike Jack, I did not make the conscious decision to opt out of Bears Twitter, and I was very much, you know, on the front lines of battling people, having going back and forth arguing day after day. I won. You guys all lost. It is what it is. I have all the bookmarks. I'm sure you have some of mine that you're now unbookmarking because I was right. So I had to be cocky for a minute, and I apologize for that. Real quickly, I got to get out of here. I got a fantasy baseball draft that actually just started. But want to quickly shout out my partners who I've been doing some work with. So for those of you guys who've been following me, I've kind of started this new, I've become a professional gambler, and I couldn't have done it without the two companies that have, you know, brought me on as an affiliate partner. First of all, oddsjam.com is, if you want to be a professional gambler, you need oddsjam.com. It basically lets you print money. It gives you arbitrage bets to take. So, you know, take both sides of the same line for a guaranteed profit. It gives you positive EV bets. So like bets that basically give you an advantage towards the market. You know, if you use OddsJam properly, you will make money, and you can sign up. Go to my Twitter account at Jerome Rome with a zero. And you can sign up here. I'm going to pull up the link. I'm so sorry. I had it a second ago and then I lost it. So yeah, oddsjam.com/?REF equals NJAZNWU. And I'm going to repost this on my Twitter account tomorrow morning. But yeah, you guys should all try it. It's a really great product. And then for even the casual bettors, I would highly recommend using this piece of tech called Picket. If you use multiple sports books, FanDuel, DraftKings, Caesars, MGM, this app basically lets you link all your sports books and keep track of all the bets that you make on your own without having to input anything. It automatically syncs your sports books. It kind of lets you manage your bankroll. It tells you how much you've won and lost throughout the day, how many units you're up, what sports you're doing well in. If you sign up using the code Jeremy, You will get $3 sent directly to your PayPal account to do whatever you want with it. That's just three free dollars if you sign up using the code Jeremy for Pickett Sports. This is also on my Twitter. And you also get entered in a draw. One in 100 people win $100. So basically, you're losing money for not signing up for this. That's all the hawking I'm going to do. Really, you know, I use these every day. I've, you know, been able to make a living gambling and you know, following sports and you know, doing what I enjoy doing and not being an idiot who loses money anymore, which was me for a very long period of time. And it's great. These two things really helped me out a lot. But yeah, and then shout out to you guys for having me on. Obviously, this is going to be a crazy off season for the Bears. And, you know, we're only getting started. We got a month till the draft. Appreciate you guys, you know, having me on and letting me give my takes, of which there are many. So thanks to you.
Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us. We know you got to get out of here. We appreciate your time very, very, very much. If for some reason you're not following Jeremy on Twitter, you need to get after that as soon as humanly possible. I've got a couple of quick shout outs to give to guys that have been shouted out many times before. Now, first one is our hype man, Todd Welter. He's been helping with just about everything in spreading the love with what's going on just with this. This Bears Twitter bracket, all the things that are going on. Todd, we appreciate you. We appreciate you very much. Jorge Gagiola, who wrote something really, really nice about Jack Wright and I, about how he thought it was not cool that we were not included, but it's okay. Jack and I, and I think, Jack, I'm gonna bring you back in on this one. I think you and I basically gave up on Twitter for the last like 2 months, just because I think we needed a break. Would you say that's an accurate?
Yeah, I think our line of profession tends to be rather emotionally exhausting. And so there's no need to add an additional emotionally exhausting piece of any type of social media. So I think we made a wise choice. And that, again, like I said earlier, like I wouldn't even pretend to, and I mean this actually, Brendan, like you are a star. Nobody puts Brendan in the corner. And you do the work and the grinding that I don't do. And so you should be in that bracket. And then there's no
Without question.
I shouldn't be in it.
Without question. No, and I was thinking about this is every time I'm like, I should tweet something about this. And then I look, Brendan's already tweeted like two or three times about it and like far more well-informed. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's why that's why he's in the bracket. And then we're not.
It's a problem.
And so yeah, so but hey dude, you got other hobbies, other things that you like doing, right?
I do. I very much do.
There you go.
You wouldn't know it, but yeah.
Yeah. So and I've got small children's, and so no, I mean it. I you know, it was really, really nice of Jorge to say that, but yeah, we don't belong there. And then the last two go to guys who you know, one who will never listen to this. He doesn't like sports. His name is Brad Christie. He's my age and just had his very first kid and had a kind of a long winding road to get there. So Brad, like truly, dude, I'm stoked for you, buddy. Congratulations. And then Will Plumley, who, you know, sponsors the podcast with Sheridan's and Hensel's, had a second. So congratulations to the people having babies. There are so many places you get your Bears content. You've chosen to hang out with us, and there are a lot of people watching right now, and we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. If this is your first time hanging out with the people at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, come on back. We've got a lot of good stuff. We got a lot of good guests coming up, and trust me, after every game, usually on Sunday nights at 7:30, we have a live recording, and it gets heated. We laugh a lot. We have a really, really good time, and we would love for you to join us. Please hit like, hit subscribe, follow us, whatever it's going to take. Share this with a friend, but for all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, that's Logan Bradley, Cam Ellis, Patrick Sheldon, Brendan Shagrew, Jack Wright. I am Ryan Dangle. Folks, thank you so very much. And as always, Bear Down Chicago.